الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابك على خطيئتك أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected Honorable Kiram, brothers and elders. First and foremost, once again to first refresh our intention. Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to gather. The intention is purely, firstly, to please Allah Ta'ala. And then together with that, that we have come to learn something from what we speak, what we listen to. Come to learn something to bring into our lives, to practice on it. To make it a part and parcel of our lives. And so that this becomes a means, inshallah, to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Correct ourselves and get closer to Allah Ta'ala. So this is the intention, and then to pass that on to others as well. It's not just merely a coming and going, not just a routine, but we need to have this clear intention in our hearts and minds. Otherwise we have heard many things, we have spoken many things, and programs will continue, various discussions will carry on. But how much we take out of it will depend on how clear our intention is. So Allah Ta'ala bless me and all of us with that rectification of intention, that the purpose of these gatherings is to bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala through learning and practicing upon what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us. So in one well-known hadith sharif, Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked a question to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the question was very, very short, very concise. You can call it one word. Though it's two words, you can call it one word. The question was, Man Najat. That's all. That's the question. Man Najat. Now the word Najat in Urdu also is quite commonly used. And Najat means safety. Salvation. And what he meant was that what is the means of gaining safety and salvation, gaining safety from all the fitnas, the trials and tests that come and surround a person, that become a very, very delicate situation for a person, where sometimes it can become very easy to slip. So in such conditions and such situations, how does a person stay safe? So now the first aspect to learn out of this is that what was the concern of the Sahaba, what the context, or rather the time and place in which all this is happening, has to be borne in mind. This is being asked out of concern. The concern for what? That we can't take chances, we have to be very safe. Now how does one remain safe? And now when is this being asked? In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the golden era, the most purest of times that could ever have passed, and the most purest of people around, and in a time when fitna was a faraway thing, fitna was somewhere way out of Madina Munawwara. Within the surroundings of Madina Munawwara was this abundant khair and goodness in every aspect. But despite that, this is still a concern. Now, in such a context, such a time, such a place, among such people, in such an environment, and yet in the midst of this goodness, yet this is the concern of Sahaba Ikram. That they are asking Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if a person is suddenly in a situation where there's fitna all around, how does he protect himself? How does he remain safe? Now, fitnas obviously of various types, not all of one type, anything and everything that can become a distraction from Allah Ta'ala, anything that can cause a person to deviate from the straight path, to end up going off the track in some way or the other. It can be fitnas that become fitnas for his tongue. He might start saying the wrong things. Fitnas for his eyes. Start looking at the wrong things. Fitna for his heart. So now, anything that can become a situation where it distracts a person, takes him away, diverts his attention away from Allah Ta'ala, all these things are fitna. And then the intensity of it differs. Some are smaller fitna, some are bigger, some are extremely intense. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he once asked the Sahaba in his time, those who were present there, that who heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the fitnas? So many of them said, we heard. So he said, you probably are referring to those minor things that happen in terms of when a person is interacting with his wife, his children, family members. So sometimes there's some issues that happen, some small things, some bigger things, little bit. So that's probably what you are referring to. Person sometimes does things which shouldn't be done, but nothing major, small things. He said, yes, that's what we are talking about. That's what we are referring to. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. So in other words, there are some smaller fitnas. I'm not talking about that. That a person, mashallah, will do some good deeds. It will erase the effects of those fitnas. He says, I am asking about those fitnas, allati tamuju ka mawjil bahr, that comes like the waves of the ocean. Now there are some fitnas which are very minor comparatively. And some Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is describing, allati tamuju ka mawjil bahr, that come like the waves of the ocean. Subhanallah. And now waves also are relative. Sometimes you see waves 3 meters high and 5 meter high waves. Subhanallah. So now that's a tashbih. That's a similarity that's been given. That fitnas have come so intense. So Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala, he said, I heard. And he used to ask about all these kind of things. So Umar radiallahu anhu praised him, mashallah. Billahi durru abik. And then he said, okay, what did you hear? So now he began relating what he heard from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about fitna. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that tu'radul fitan alal qulub, that the fitnas will attack the heart. Or there are fitnas that become a problem for a person physically or in his wealth, in his belongings, in whatever else. This is the fitna that is tamuju ka mawjil bahr, that comes like the waves of the ocean. And where does it come? See, it attacks the heart. So now when a person, sometimes things happen physically, happen around him in his surroundings, happen to his property, to his wealth, then that becomes a very worrying thing for him. More worrying than that is what hits the heart directly. But because that is not visually discernible, a person doesn't see it with his eyes. What happened? That is brushed aside, that is taken for granted, because he can't see anything happening with his eyes. But it's happening directly in his heart. We said the fitnas will pounce on the heart, they will attack the heart. Kal hasir, udan udan, like the straw mat. When that straw mat is being manufactured, when it's being made, so now there's a special way in which it's done. Those who are experts in it, they have it all strung up in place, and then they drop those straws very, very expertly and swiftly, one after the other, it just falls in place. Now this was something which the Arabs were very familiar with, because they used to make it, they used to see it. So the example is being given of something that they were well acquainted with. That this is something that happened so quickly, one barely fell in place and the next one is there. The next straw barely fell in place and the one after it is already there. That is how the fitnas will keep hitting the heart. Barely one fitna has just still landed, so to say, and the next one is already there. Like the waves of the ocean, barely one wave hit the shore and the next one is there. And barely that came and the third one is there. And thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أَنْكَرَهَا نُكِتَ فِيهِ نُكْتَةٌ بَيْضَى. Whichever heart will reject it. What does it mean to reject it? So now the fitna attacked the heart, that look at this, some wrong, haram, some sin. The fitna came into the heart, that temptation, that waswasa from shaitan. And he rejected it, he suppressed it. He didn't give in to it, he didn't succumb. So now every time that he rejected that fitna, he did not succumb to it, it created noor in his heart. Nukita fihi nuktatun bayda. That noor developed in his heart. So now one fitna, one temptation, he suppressed it, he rejected it. So noor came. Then the second, more noor. Then the third, fourth, tenth, hundredth time. And each time this noor is increasing because there's a mujahada involved. Many times shaitan puts his waswasa. Now one time, so what? Just get it. Now afterwards you sort it out. But number one, that noor he lost. But then we're coming to the second part of it. That every time the person gives in to something, there's zulmat coming in, darkness coming in. So any case now, this person keeps rejecting those fitnas. Nukita fihi nuktatun bayda. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the other side of the picture. Wa ayyu qalbin ushribaha nukita fihi nuktatun sawda. And every heart that accepts it, any temptation is given. Whatever you want to say, speak. Say, well, I didn't say anything too serious. Just a few words. These few words can become very, very detrimental, very damaging. So in any case, every fitna the person gives into, fitna of the eyes, fitna of the tongue, listening to what he shouldn't be listening to, deliberately engaging the heart in evil, all this is creating zulmat, darkness. Now darkness upon darkness and upon more darkness. And eventually, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, حَتَّى تَصِيرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِينَ. Two kinds of hearts. People get divided into two kinds of people with two kinds of hearts. One heart, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that heart becomes completely brightened and fitna proof. This is the crux of the Hadith Sharif. لَا تَدُرُّهُ فِتْنَةٌ مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. This heart, by repeatedly rejecting the fitna, this noor increases and increases and increases until a point comes where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the example, it becomes like marble, meaning in its protection, that shield that got built over the heart. Like marble doesn't allow anything to penetrate in it. And if something falls on it, it can be very easily wiped off. Number one, nothing will seep in. It's very strong, not easy to break. And something falls on it, very easily wiped off. So now as insan, some things might still affect him. Istighfar will clean it out completely. Because it's not getting deeper. It's just on the surface. It hasn't affected him. So now this was not something that happened overnight. It was a constant effort, constant mujahada. But in that mujahada, he kept on breaking his heart for Allah Ta'ala. But in breaking his heart, he was making his heart. It seemed like breaking the heart, but that was making the heart. Many things, to make it, you have to break it first. See, first break it down, then you can make it right. So when the heart breaks for Allah Ta'ala, in refraining from what Allah has forbidden, but the temptation was so severe and strong, it seemed like the heart will break. He said, well, let it break for Allah Ta'ala. That heart becomes fitna proof. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَا تَدُرُّهُ فِتْنَةٌ مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the other heart just kept on giving to every temptation. Look at this, looking at it. Half the night gone looking at it. Speak whatever vulgarity, let it come. Listen to anything. How people are treated around doesn't matter. Suppress anybody, harm anyone, no concern for anything. Each of these things is bringing zulmat. And each time the zulmat is increasing, It's taking a person further away from Allah Ta'ala, weakening his heart. And each time it's getting weakened, it's more prone to nafs and shaitan. And it happens very subtly, until an opportunity comes where he gets thrown headlong into it. He's gone. It seemed like it happened just in that moment. It seemed like person, mashallah, was going very well. It happened in that moment. No, it didn't happen in that moment. The weakness started long before. The weakness started long before, and that was a moment of the final straw breaking. So now this was because that temptation was given into, person succumbed, and let the zulmat come, the darkness come. The darkness continued increasing and weakening the heart. Then finally that happened. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. So this second condition, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when that becomes the situation of the heart, how does that heart react then? That the other heart, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, like an upside down container, upside down vessel, cup, whatever, nothing goes inside, because upside down. لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا إلا ما أشرب من هوا. It can't see what is right, can't see what is wrong. All it wants is fulfillment of its desires. And obviously those desires are coming from nafs and shaitan. And all that this heart wants is just the fulfillment of that desires. It just goes headlong into it. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Now the point in this was that there's all these different levels of fitna. Some are comparatively small, but when comparatively small doesn't mean that it is something to be just ignore it, don't bother about it. Because small things become big. Small things become the stepping stones to big things. So a person has to make an effort to stay away from every fitna. So any case, coming back to the Hadith Sharif that we started discussing, Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, he had asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man najat. And now in this the lesson, that the time that this is being asked in, the people around, what a pure environment, what pure people all around, what a wonderful time and era it was, and in the midst of all that, but yet this concern. Now in the time that we are living in the zamana that we find ourselves in, Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi, he is centuries ago, and in one place he writes that what a time we found ourselves in. Now we're talking about, even if we go back one century, just one century ago, it was a completely different world. And the fitnas that abound nowadays, probably not a fraction of it also was there that time one century ago. Now we're talking about several centuries back, and he writes that what a time we found ourselves in. That sometimes a person feels that if this head didn't reach and meet with this body in this time, what a wonderful thing it would have been. Meaning, if I wasn't living now, if I wasn't existing in this time and age, what a wonderful thing that would be, because what a time I've come in. Now, if he had to see our zamana, so now in our zamana, what level of concern there should be for the protection of our iman, the protection of our amal. And then especially in the time of year that we are in, where that whole mindset is just let loose. Everybody says, want to let loose. Let loose what? So nafs and shaitan have been just let loose. And they are in a different mode, running in overdrive. And now we just want to be loose ourselves and just be casual, be very, very, just take it easy. Take it easy in terms of deen. Take it easy in terms of Allah's ahkam. So what will be the outcome is so obvious. So any case, this was the concern of Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, and he asked this very, very concise question, man najat. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a 3-point plan, a prescription. This is the prescription from Zubane Nubuwat, from the tongue of Nubuwat, from the kalam of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his Mubarak words. And his words, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He didn't speak out of his personal desire. It was inspiration, divine inspiration from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One is what came and was revealed upon him as the Quran Sharif. So the exact words were revealed. And those words were then passed on to the Ummah. And the Hadith Sharif, the message of that was inspired on the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he expressed it in his Mubarak words. So now this is the prescription coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you want to be safe, then these three things. Three advices. Number one, amlik alayka lisanak. Amlik alayka lisanak, control your tongue. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, very, very great muhaddith personality. So he's written in one kitab of his, Al-Azkar. See, the names were mentioned there, the names are not in mind now. These two very great personalities met, and they were discussing, for their own benefit now, they're discussing with each other. So one asked the other, that how many deficiencies have you identified in insan? They should identify, like for example, pride, major problem, major disease, malady, jealousy, malice, love for dunya, love for the ego, this whole ego aspect. Now these are just five things we've only counted. And there's many more. So he asked him, but now they used to be concerned about going through things very, very in depth. Why? They were concerned about their Islam. Now, number one, I must stay away from it. Number two, okay, this is number two. This two, I must make sure. Now, how much am I caught up in this? I need to sort this out. They would go to people who could help them, and they would present the whole problem that they are experiencing, whatever they are feeling within themselves, what they detected in terms of their problem and weakness. This is my issue. How do I get past this? What do I do? Open the kitabs where people used to correspond with Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, and all those correspondences are there, various other mashayikh, and how people, this is now we're talking about in these latter times, how people came and presented themselves and presented their issues in a very, very clear and transparent way, and opened out their problems, asking for a solution. Why? Because they wanted to have the solution before death. They didn't want to leave this dunya in a condition that this is still the situation that they are suffering from. And when death will come, nobody knows. So time is of the essence. It might be too late tomorrow morning. That was their concept. So they went and they spelt out, and they didn't decide for themselves selectively, now, okay, I'll sort this out. Whatever the issues were, what they needed to sort out, they realized, so now they're talking to each other, that how many this maladies did you detect and find in insan? Meaning, you might have thought about all these things, how many? So he said, it's more than you can count. But nevertheless, what I have counted over time now, each time I'm thinking about each now, these people are giants in knowledge. Many things which it doesn't even occur to us, we never heard about it, maybe too. How come we never heard about it? Because what's the extent of our ilm? Just to take one example, we have heard about ghibat, major sin, extremely severe sin. So now what is ghibat? So now ghibat, two people are talking, they're talking about a third person, something he will dislike, something he will be unhappy about, that this was spoken about me. That is ghibat. Zikruka akhaka bima yakra. So now that's a very major sin. So now that much, perhaps all of us understand. But now there's another level of ghibat. Person is talking to himself about somebody. Within himself, he's thinking about the talking to himself, meaning now he's running it in his mind. That's a terrible fellow. That chap is a real thief and whatever else. Now, if there is some problem, there's a problem. But now he is running it unnecessarily in his mind. One is now he's got a problem that he needs to resolve. He's got an issue with the person. So now he's going to deal with his issue. But now whatever, he's thinking about the whole world, running his mind about everybody in the world, even his salah is not safe from it. He's busy, supposed to be reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So his tongue is reciting, but his mind is about what this fellow did, and what that chap did, and what that person did. Now that, if it was spoken to some person, if two people were sitting and speaking the same thing, that would be ghibat. This is ghibat within himself. As one example, how many times have we realized that we're making ghibat within ourselves? Where unnecessarily, we are just thinking about everybody else. One is we have to sort something out with somebody, that's our matter then. But now we're talking about, thinking about the whole world. That's ghibat, ghibat of the heart. So now, he asked him, how many things you detected? So he said, over time, first he said, you can't even count. It's beyond counting it. We're talking about problems, maladies within insan. How can you be, you can't count it? He said, no, it's beyond what you can count. But nevertheless, over time, I've counted 8,000. Subhanallah, 8,000. If we have to ask ourselves, how many faults do you think I have? Maybe one small page, A5 might suffice, I'll fill it up, it's okay. But I don't think I'll go beyond that. Because we don't know about the other 7,995. We never heard about maybe 7,000 also. But now this is the extent of issues that can be, Allah knows best what he detected and how much he detected. Now that detail is not there anywhere. In some kitabs, the mashayikh, the bigger things, the bigger aspects, they've listed some 25. These are the big things. 25, we haven't heard 7. We've heard 5 only. They've listed 25 of the major things. And then Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, he's listed muhlikat, things that destroy a person. All these spiritual maladies, a whole list, long list. So now the point is that there's so many things. But now on this particular occasion, Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, we're talking about him. He's saying to the person who these two people are discussing, so the one is saying to the other that now there's 8,000 that I detected over time. But he says there's one particular trait, one quality that will cover everything. So now, it's obvious, it doesn't mean just brush it under the carpet and don't worry about it. But these things don't necessarily come right overnight. It's an effort. A person makes a concerted effort, makes dua to Allah Ta'ala, begs Allah's forgiveness, and he finds somebody to relate to and take the advice of how to navigate past all this, he's got a physical ailment, so now there's some level of it where there's some home remedy, and there's something beyond that, that now maybe nowadays, okay, we'll say home remedy is not enough, so now we'll go for Google remedy, because now every person, mashallah, he is an expert at that. Then he'll find some conflicting things and he'll reconcile between it. So any case, then eventually he'll have to forget about all these things and he'll have to go to the doctor. And now if he decides, no, I know what I'm doing, everybody around him too, they will tell him, no, you don't know what you're doing. You are not a doctor and this is not the way of treating yourself. Google is not a doctor. Google is a deceit. You need to go to a doctor. So now they will force him and take him because they are concerned for his health. And then if the doctor says, no, you're not even able to be treated in this rooms here, you need to be admitted to hospital. So now he accepts it because this person is an expert of the field. And he doesn't then say, I'll do as I please, I know what to do about it, I'll sort it out. For his physical health, he goes through all this. So likewise, for that spiritual remedies, person then does what is required in the way it's required. Then he gets to the end point with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. So in any case, the point that we are talking about is that these people had this concern and they made this effort. So now, over time, the person now, he was talking about these 8,000 plus issues. He said, but there's one trait that will cover it up. Meaning it won't become detected to others. You'll know. You have to still work on it, you still have to address it, treat it, but it won't become evident to everybody. So he says, well, what's that one thing that will cover everything up? He says, the one thing is hifzul lisan. You learn to guard your tongue, you'll throw a cover over all your faults. Now what he actually was highlighting is the importance of guarding the tongue. Not necessarily meaning that don't worry about everything else. Just brush everything under the carpet and look after the tongue and let it carry on. Because that carpet over time will start bulging then. Can't keep brushing everything under the carpet. They'll be bulging so much, it'll be coming out from the corners. So it doesn't mean that now he's saying, don't worry about it. But what he's highlighting is the importance of guarding the tongue. What a great aspect this is, that it'll cover a person's faults. And therefore Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to advise and say, man kathura kalamuhu, kathura saqatuhu. In other words, to highlight the harm of this non-stop use of the tongue. That a person now, that's his occupation. So a person who just keeps talking non-stop, he is going to fall into a lot of blunders often. Kathura saqatuhu. He's going to falter often, because when you're talking so much, you're going to say something that shouldn't be said, you're going to make a mistake somewhere, because you're not even stopping to think. Before the thought can come, the words came out. So now you're going to blunder up so many times, and وَمَنْ كَثُرَ سَقَطُهُ قَلَّ حَيَاؤُهُ. Now when he's going to keep faltering, and keep falling, and keep slipping up, and sometimes he said something which offended somebody, sometimes he said something which was completely obscene, and sometimes he said something else. And now each time now, this gradually starts diminishing his haya. Because now he becomes a bit carefree, and careless, and becomes bold, and that haya starts dropping. And now he then speaks the same things in a more intense manner. And now he said it 10 times at a certain level, so now people around him got used to him in that manner. So now he goes one another level of something more intense, more vulgar, more obscene. So in all this, what is happening? His haya is diminishing and diminishing. And then he says, وَمَنْ قَلَّ حَيَاؤُهُ مَاتَ قَلْبُهُ. And when a person's haya then gets very less, comes below a certain point, his heart dies. Heart is dead then. And then the dead heart doesn't take effect. And the dead heart can't see what's going on around. That what the harm, what's going on, how I'm hurting somebody, where I am going to destruction myself. And will always have an excuse of some sort or the other to just brush anything away. The dead heart is dead. The dead person, you go and now cut him with a knife through, he can't feel the pain because he's dead. The dead heart can't perceive the harm. Where I'm heading, what I'm doing. But now where it started off from? Not looking after the tongue. It doesn't mean this is the only thing. It's one of the things. But how this one aspect of being just free with the use of the tongue, anything and everything, anyhow, whatever kalam. So this is the first aspect that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him. Amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. Hazrat Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu ta'ala an, he narrated the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a person sometimes says something and he never gave any thought to it, that what heights this can reach. It never occurred to him. He never gave it much thought that this is such a great thing that I am saying. Because he took it as an ordinary thing. But the effect, the good effect, was so great that he reaches heights, great heights with it, which he couldn't imagine. And then the opposite, a person sometimes says something, he doesn't give it a second thought, doesn't think anything about it. So what? I said it. I just saw somebody, so what? It's been ghibat, so what? I just degraded somebody, said something hurtful and degrading. So what? After all, it's only my wife I said that to. So what? It's somebody that's just my employee, he'll get his money end of the month. So if I saw him, so what? So now that so what and so what, but the day of Qiyamah is coming. Then the person realized what? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Yahwi biha fi jahannam. Due to that statement, due to those words, due to those degrading comments, due to those sarcasm which broke somebody's heart, Yahwi biha fi jahannam, he falls into the depths of jahannam. Hazrat Alqama radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the main student and most special student of the great Sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. Now look at these people. sufis were such great, he was a tabi'i of such a great caliber. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an was that sahabi who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him such closeness that Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala an came from Yemen. So he says, for a long time, my mother, myself, we thought Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an was a part of the household of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of how often he would be coming, going and being so close. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on one occasion, what he is pleased with for the ummah, I am pleased with it. My endorsement. That he'll only say that which I am pleased with. Now his student, Al-Qama, rahimahullah, he says, I cannot count how many things I held back. What held it back? The hadith of Bilal radiallahu anhu held it back. That second part of the same hadith. A person says something, and that statement, he didn't give it any second thought. He thought about it as nothing, but it drops him deep into Jahannam. Now, a tabi'i of that caliber, and a student of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud endorsed him, just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endorsed Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu endorsed Al-Qama. He said, whatever I know, he has learned it. My knowledge, he has taken it all. So now, what kind of things he might have been wanting to say sometimes that he held back? Was he was going to sway somebody? Was he was going to make some ghibat of someone? Was he going to make some sarcastic comment? Was he going to degrade and humiliate somebody? What kind of statement he was holding back? And he says, I can't count how many times I was about to say something and I held it back. And what held it back? The hadith of Bilal radiallahu anhu. Those statements for us will be like golden words to write down. It will be such a wonderful, wise line maybe for us that it will be on that level. But he felt, not even out of caution, he held back those lines also. Out of caution, no. I don't want to take a chance with where the statement might take me. Whereas, subhanallah, what pure people these were, and people who had the company of such great sahaba, what pure thoughts would have been in their minds, what wonderful and pure words would have been coming out of their mouths. But this caution was at this level. This is how many times I've held back my statement, my words, because of this hadith of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Now we've heard this hadith many times also. How many times we held back, about to say something, but this hadith came in front. Will this statement drop me in Jahannam? Allah save me. I don't want to take a chance. I'm not sure, I'd rather not even say it. But now they had the concern for their betterment, for their rectification, for getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. That is what drove them. They heard something once, and this was the outcome. That now life is going in that manner, that every statement the person is weighing it, is now checking where is this going to fall, which side of the scale. So the first lesson that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him, that amlik alayka lisanak, the time has passed, just to briefly touch on the other two. The second he said to him, wal yasa'ka baytuk, let your home be sufficient for you. Meaning, don't venture out unnecessarily. If there's some need, dini need, need of dunya, then that is in its place. But wal yasa'ka baytuk, let your home be sufficient for you. Now, especially in this time of the year, in the midst of all the hogs, in the midst of all the fitna, people are all in this merrymaking mode, and now the person, no, I'm going to buy some bargain some here and there, and now these things are happening, this fair is taking place here and there, so now I can't get left out. What's going to happen to his iman and all that? And is that in keeping with this, that particular venue, that particular place and time, is that in keeping with the spirit of what is in this hadith sharif, wal yasa'ka baytuk? And a person wants to stay safe from fitna, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving him the prescription. Wal yasa'ka baytuk. You know, this was going to be a once in a lifetime opportunity of, you know. But what is happening to the iman? And then the third aspect, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so this, wal yasa'ka baytuk, stay indoors, don't venture unnecessarily outdoors. And if a person is going somewhere, then he has to make sure that he's going where there's no fitna. Otherwise that heart, the fitnas will attack the heart and can turn the heart upside down. Then now the heart is upside down, everything just flows over. all the nasihat and advice and whatever, everything just flows over. Why? First, an effort, very great effort will have to be made to turn this right side up. Some things, even a child can turn it up, depending what it is. And some things will require a very strong adult. And some things an adult can't do also. You have to bring some machinery. And some things an ordinary machine won't do it too. You have to bring a heavy duty crane. Allah forbid, sometimes that heart turns in such a way that it requires some very heavy duty work to be done. And it requires some intensive care. So now the point is that indoors is supposed to be the sanctuary. Indoors is supposed to be the place that is safe from fitna. But if a person brought in all the fitna indoors, then that is not going to help him in any way. What is outdoors, he made it indoors as well, then he's defeated the purpose. So those fitnas have to be kept out. And the devices that Shaitan has now made it his nets to now grab whatever he can and whoever he can, we have to become very conscious about this and turn to Allah Ta'ala and beg His help and forgiveness. So this is the very important aspect about indoors as well, that the fitna mustn't be indoors. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. And the third aspect, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَتِيَتِكَ, that now person will make the best effort to control his tongue, to remain out of places of fitna, etc. But insan is insan, and he will make some mistakes here and there. So he cannot just be casual about it. Well, that's human nature. So if it's human nature, so now why worry about it? No, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَتِيَتِكَ. Cry over your mistakes. Beg Allah's forgiveness. This is the part of this prescription. And be safe from fitna. Then when a person will have this, he'll make mistakes but he'll cry over it. Then inshallah he'll remain safe. But if he makes mistakes and just passes it, now it happened, then he'll make bigger mistakes. And he won't worry about that too. And then he'll make big, huge blunders. But if he's crying over it, inshallah it'll save him. He'll come one step lower. He might still make a mistake. But that will be even after a lengthier period of time that he'll make a smaller mistake. Insan is insan. But that crying over his mistakes will become a safeguard. And after all, this is the Hadith Sharif Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is presenting as the protection from fitna. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to control our tongues, to become conscious of what we say and say that which is good, which will bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala. Refrain from all talk that will distance us from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala protect us, keep our iman in protection, save us from all the fitna and fasad, and keep us steadfast on deen till our last breath. Take us on perfect iman, raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect iman. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and dua. Said Durud. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah. صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 الله. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. إله العالمين يا الله, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our families, Ya Allah. Forgive our friends and relatives, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us your loyal servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from all the vices and sins, Ya Allah. Save us from all the fitna and fasad, Ya Allah. Keep us steadfast on deen, Ya Allah. Keep us steadfast on iman till our last breath, Ya Allah. Take us with perfect iman, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us forever conscious of you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the deception of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Save us from the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. In the sunnah manner, Ya Allah. In a way you are pleased, Ya Allah. Enable us to recite the Quran Sharif in abundance daily, Ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your dhikr and remembrance, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse and purify our hearts out of all the evils and vices, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, the arrogance, the ego, Ya Allah, all the evils and vices, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the love of deen, Ya Allah. The love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. The love of the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Accept us for the khidmat of deen with ikhlas, with afiyat, with Ya Allah, qabooliyat, Ya Allah. Accept our progenies till qiyamat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, atila, mustamirra, da'ima. Remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those in any difficulties and hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, every Muslim, Ya Allah. Grant each one afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Protect each one's iman and amal, Ya Allah. Protect each one's life, wealth and honor, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters of Palestine, of Gaza, Ya Allah, of Sudan, of throughout the world, wherever they are in any difficulties, hardships, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, protect them, Ya Allah. Remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Hold back the hands of the zalimeen, Ya Allah. Give them hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you give us the tawfiq of doing all those actions and bring down your rahmat, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that bring down azab, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, you protect us in these times of fitna and fasad, Ya Allah. Protect our families, Ya Allah. Protect the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. But we should have been asking for, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله